Praise the Lord. We're back again. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I come by the blood. I come, Lord, into your presence, asking, Lord, that you come and have mercy. Lord, I don't come in the power of my own strength, but I ask for your mercy, your grace, Lord Jesus, and your help, Holy Spirit, that these words that you have given unto me, Lord, that you would amplify them, you will speak through them, that you, Lord, will pour yourself, Lord, through these words, by your power, that it may go forth to do an eternal work in the hearts and lives of all men listening, including myself, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for you, a faithful God. Let the word come forth as streams of living water in the name of Jesus. Lord, I strip myself of every confidence that I might have in my knowledge or in my ability or lack of ability thereof. Lord, put my confidence in you, mercy, Lord, your grace, Lord Jesus, and your help, Holy Spirit. Come and speak your word. Come and have your way. Glorify your name. We worship and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord has been... I want to give you a word today about... share a few thoughts about being strong. Or rather, knowing your God and doing exploits. And I've entitled this, They That Know Their God. God has been talking to me about this, and he asked me a very funny question. He asked me the question, and I will ask you. He said, how would you like to be able to pray a prayer and God would answer you the way he would answer Pastor and Mommy if they were the one to pray the prayer? How would you like that? Let me see. You can put your hands up. Would you like that? Oh, some people are not sure. I don't know. How would you like that? I said that sounds like a good deal, but of course I felt, we can put your hands down. I felt, well, that's a lot of growing to do before we get anywhere near there. But the way God was bringing it to me, he was saying that, no, you can have that right in the present. And he was explaining how it can be done. And I want to share just these few thoughts with us, because I know this is the time where God is building his church. And he's going to pour out his glory as we are all praying for the manifestation of the fullness of his glory to come. And but there has to be some structure for him to pour it into. Amen. It has to be a specific, a very precise structure, spiritual structure that God is building in our midst. And I'll share a few thoughts concerning this tonight by the grace of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 24, verse 12. Genesis 24, verse 12. Okay, we're there. Let's read it together. Have we got the right place? Yeah. Yes. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. I'll repeat that. O Lord God of my master Abraham. I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Praise the Lord. This is Eliezer here talking. It's Abraham's servant, his chief servant, his very trusted servant. And he sent him on a very important mission. Go find a wife for my son Isaac. And he went on the way. And on the way, he now prayed this prayer. A very important prayer. When I look at the prayer, it's like, wait a minute. Doesn't Eliezer have his own relationship with God? Why can't he say, oh my God, send me on good speed this day. I use my faith and I'm going to get a wife for my master's son. Why didn't he say that? What he's saying here is quite similar. I found it similar to what Elisha said when he got the mantle and he came back to the river and he said, where is the God of Elijah? Wait a minute, doesn't he have his own relationship with God? Isn't he God as well? But he came back here and he now, as if it were, prayed a prayer that he would want God to answer him as if he were Abraham. Just like Elisha. He wanted God to answer him as if he were Elijah. Now, of course, I know that Eliezer, he had a relationship with God. But his relationship with God was not like Abraham's relationship with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was a difference. And you see, here, it was not Eliezer that sent himself. It was Abraham that sent him. And because Abraham sent him, he now prayed this prayer and wanted God to answer him as if Abraham were there. But Abraham wasn't there. So what right did he have? What premise did he have to expect God to answer him as if he were Abraham? Praise the Lord. I will tell you what I believe this premise is that the Lord spoke to me. He had a relationship with Abraham. He also had a relationship with the God of Abraham, which is very important. But he had a relationship with Abraham. And here he was on a mission that he had been sent by Abraham. And he was acting here as a reliable extension of Abraham's ministry. He was not acting on by himself. He was acting on Abraham's behalf in this position that he was here. I want to see, this is not a strange relationship. It repeats itself many times throughout the Bible. Paul and Timothy had this kind of thing too. Let's look at Philippians 2:19. Thank you, Jesus. He said, but, let me see, we're going, yes, 19, all right. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Next verse, please. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Next verse, please. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Next verse, please. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. This, I know Pastor Boogie has preached about this, Pastor has preached about this, I've heard, you know, this man Timothy was a son to Paul. And we can see here from the scripture that his relationship, it brings out certain details. It says he was like-minded with him. It says that he sought not his own, but that which was Christ's. Amen. These are very, very critical, you know, pointers, because this is Paul's heart. Paul sought not his own. Paul sought what was Christ. Paul had a burning desire to fulfill the will of God in the hearts and lives of all these people that he's writing to. And so therefore, he needed people. He needed someone who was like-minded. Someone who was like-minded, who would carry that burden along with him. Because he couldn't be everywhere. He couldn't do everything. So he needed more than one. He needed many, as many as he could have. Like-minded people who would carry this burden along with him. And this is the kind of person that Eliezer was to Abraham. Over the many years he has served. Many years. Now, you will say to yourself, okay, does this thing work only when you are very, very close to the person physically in proximity to the oversight? Is that how it works? Let me show something. Let me show you something. It's not limited to that. Let me show you something. Not at all. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 49. It says, and let's read it together. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. Next verse. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't know the name of this man. Jesus did not know the name of this man that was following. Maybe they had not yet met, they had not met face to face. But what was he doing? He was following the principles. He was following, he has heard the word. And the word that he had heard, he was following it. Praise the Lord. He has seen the demonstrations probably from far off. And what he has seen, he was copying it. Praise the Lord. And look at, he got the same results. As if Jesus were there. With him. And this was before the time. Because, I mean, lots of things, he hadn't died yet. And, I don't think even at this time he had even sent them out to go and, I sent the 70 out, 12 out. Praise the Lord. What matters is attitude towards the vessel and attitude towards the word of God that comes from the vessel. Attitude towards God. It is very, very critical. Amen. God indeed is making, building us together. As we have sung in many songs, he's linking us together in unity. In Psalm 133, we don't need to go there. You see that the anointing flows down from the head. It flows down to the beard, down to the hems of the garment. The hems of the garment, notice, is not connected directly to the head. But it's a part of the body and it's connected. Praise the Lord. An example, God gave me an example of how this works because I think mechanically, I'm an engineer. It's an example of when you build a house and you want to wire it up and connect it to NEPA. Oh, I don't know what it's called now. All right. So what they do, you make a big building estate, you make an estate. You know, you can have fine buildings there. Nice, beautiful buildings. But the thing is that how the electrical connections are done inside the houses is what determines whether it should be approved to be connected to the grid. So what happens is that you have all the components. The electrician comes in. He makes sure all the components are properly put in order. He makes sure that all the right things are in order. They have the right rating. They have the right connection. They're screwed down properly. They're fastened and wires are connected properly. He does all of that. And then approval is given. When approval is given, then the grid is switched on to it. And then it is energized. If approval isn't given, you can't energize the house. Praise the Lord. Approval must be given before you energize. Let me tell you, if you energize the house and it's not properly done, what will happen is that some things will go, some things will begin to burn gradually and smolder. Some other things will spoil immediately. The electrical works, fine household, but the electrical works were not done properly. So it is in the natural, praise the Lord. So it is in the natural. And I want to share like three pointers that the Lord shared with me that we need to ensure that we are going to be able to receive, praise the Lord. Our location is important. Our function is important. And our authorization is important. I will explain each of them. Our location, our function, and our authorization. Location, function, and authorization. Three critical things that we need to look into as we approach this sea, as we approach the coming glory. Praise the Lord. Location. The Bible asks the question in several places, where are you? Adam, where are you? Where are you? You find it not in one place only, it is in several places. Where are you? Living in the right place, that's even tough generally. Living in the right place is important. Yeah. You know? Living in the right country, living in the right city is important. You know, you look at the example of Ruth. And in Ruth chapter 1, Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1:1. Just go there. Ruth 1:1. Okay. And I'll quickly run through. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land of Israel. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Praise the Lord. Huh. There is a place called there. There is a place where you need to be with respect to the purpose of God. So not everybody left. Many people stayed behind and prayed for the purpose of God to come to pass in Israel. And they didn't die of the famine. They prayed for the purpose to come to pass. Yes, they said, and 10, I think it was about 10 years later or so. The same people saw her when she came back. But she came back empty. And they were now enjoying plenty. Praise the Lord. Yes. So they left because of bread. I see so many people say, they left and went to the United States of Moab. Yes. Everybody wants to go there. Everybody wants to go. Yes. I don't know what color the card was then. Green card. Because they felt that they would prosper there. Yes. Look, I'm not condemning there, wherever it is. There are people that are there that God is prospering. But if God did not send you there, you won't prosper with them. Only one person is clapping. If God didn't send you there, you won't prosper there with those that are there. It's not a curse. It's a fact. Thank you, sir. Because he did not send you there. That's the thing. Yes. Thank you, mommy. He will provide for you wherever he sends you. Look at the color of your skin. You're black and comely. You came from Nigeria. You know, okay, I was born in England. Yeah, I guess most of you know that. But I would always look at my color of my skin and wonder, why is it I'm this color? I don't come from this place. Everybody around me is different, yet we speak the same. I couldn't understand as a small child. But in growing up, my mother brought me back here. Early enough. Yes. Thank God. Early enough for me to actually decode and become a Nigerian. So, in fact, a Nijebu man. Thank you, mommy. We come from the same place. Praise the Lord. Just a stone throw away. Yes, a real one. There is a reason why I'm this color. There's a reason why I was born in Nigeria. As much as you may wish that you were born an American, as much as you may wish you were born English, as English, gong, gong, gong. There's a reason why you were born this color and born here. It's not a curse. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. Now you can look at the so-called lack around you and say, like many years ago, they had this advert. They said, they called it Andrew is checking out. They say, no good roads, no electricity, no water, no this thing. I'm checking out, man. Andrew, not this one. It was a popular advert then. All those things, everybody's suffering them and seeing them. But you see, the thing is that God has a purpose for this land. And I'm glad I am privileged to be able to see it. Because I am privileged to be able to become a part of it. It's a privilege, brethren. It's a privilege. When we all get to heaven, we will look back and see and understand. It's a privilege. God didn't make a mistake. Stop trying to correct his so-called mistake. It's not a mistake. Praise the Lord. Okay, so much for location. But then, location also, I want to show you something. Because you see, in the reverse now, what happened? Ruth now followed Naomi back to where she came from. She formed a relationship with Naomi's God. And she had a covenant relationship that she had with Naomi, that she determined that she would have. And with that, she now went back. She went back with Naomi. Now, from this time that she started going back, God started synchronizing her steps with purpose. Synchronizing her steps with purpose. So it got to a point where every day she was in the right place at the right time. She would go out and say, and they would tell her, look, my daughter, don't go to any other field. Go to that field. Go to, you know, Boaz's field. Make sure you are there with his maidens. And she would go. And she would be in the right place at the right time. Very important, that location where she was. She couldn't have been any other place. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a daily application for this. Every time you wake up in the morning, in a new day, There's a place for you to be at any point in time. God has determined what you are to do. He knows what your schedule is. If, for example, let me give you an example now. You wake up in the morning, you know you're supposed to be at work at a certain time. You have a boss there. You're under authority in that place. Obviously, if whatever God is going to do with you is going to work within that authority that He has set. Every authority in your life, God has set it. Whether it be father, natural mother, whether it is the government, whether it is your boss, whether it is your pastor, whether it is your husband, everything comes from God. Every authority, the powers that be, come ordained of God. Praise the Lord. And so there's a place where you are expected to be at any point in time. I often laugh. Probably this has happened to you. You know, maybe you have a driver and you send him off to do something. And you suddenly realize that this man should have been back half an hour ago. So you call, Dede, where are you? I'm coming, sir. I said, where are you? I'm coming. No. Then the phone goes dead. Then you ring back. It doesn't enter. So this phone is either switched off or out of coverage area. Out of coverage area. The man is out of coverage area. He is out of coverage area. May we not be out of coverage area. Where is he? He's probably gone to one or two places that you didn't tell him to go to. You didn't send him. So he does not have the confidence of your authority in those places that he has gone to. He doesn't have the confidence. That's why he can't answer you. So next time you're going to see him, he's going to be standing in front of you. Say, I didn't go. Thy servant went no whither. It has. Are there times when you felt like hiding the truth of where you are from authority, either your pastor and your pastor and mommy, or either your boss, either your husband, or even your wife? Bible says one should submit to the other. Hey, where's my husband? Where are you? My wife, where are you? I'm coming. It's not the answer to the question. It is not the answer to the question. I'm coming. I will soon be there, I'm telling you. Even if you say where you are, did you have a twinge inside that said, oh, I don't want to really say? It is that thing that tells you that you don't have the confidence of your oversight, approval of your oversight. And therefore, you will not have the confidence to call on the God of your oversight in a difficult situation at that point in time. Praise the Lord. Very important. The next thing I will talk about is function. Function. What are you doing? That's another question. All these questions. What are you doing in that place? What are you doing? It's simple questions. Sometimes they can be so uncomfortable. Hey, what doest thou here, Elijah? In 1 Kings, that's 19:9. Let's just go there. 1 Kings 19:9. Yeah. This is Elijah. Said, and he came thither unto a cave. And he came thither unto a cave. And lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Oh. What was Elijah doing there? He had just run away from Jezebel. He said, this woman is going to kill me. I need to run away. The man picked race. He ran and ran and ran until he got to a cave. Probably very far away. Thinking that she can't find him there. And God is now asking, what are you doing here? I did not send you here. And what are you doing here? What was he doing there? He was having a pity party. He said, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I've been doing your work. And now these people want to kill me. It's not fair. So there he was. He didn't have the confidence of God's approval where he was and what he was doing. Praise the Lord. Let me give you another example. Peter, James, and John. At the most critical time in history, they were with the Lord Jesus. Everybody said, that's the right place to be. That's the right place to be. Okay, fine. So they're fine on that. They went into the Garden Gethsemane. The critical hour, the most critical 3 hours in history. They were in the right place. But they slept. And so when he came out and he asked them and spoke to them, the Bible said they wist not what to answer. They were speechless. They didn't know what to say. Because, what were you saying? There's nothing to say. You should have been doing something else. You should have been praying, but you were sleeping. They didn't have the confidence of his approval. Praise the Lord. These things, they're very important, you know, because you see, your function and your location, even though you may trivialize it, you know, you say, oh, well, that's my freedom. Oh, Shebi, I'm a free man. I can go where I like as I like. I can do as I like, where I like. The Bible says that Peter, when he was old, he said that somebody else will gird you and carry you to where you would not. And we also read, when we talk about that in Ezekiel, where we saw that river coming out of the temple, where it got up to the knees, up to the ankles, up to the waist, and beyond the head, over the head, that once it gets over the head, it becomes a flood that will carry you. You can't determine which way you will go. Amen. It will determine, the Spirit will take you. The Bible says he was carried away by the Spirit into a place. So these things that we naturally think as our own preserve and our own territory that nobody should encroach upon, actually God needs them to be submitted. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to talk about authorization. By what authority? Let's look at Matthew 21:23. Matthew 21:23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Praise the Lord. Even if men don't ask you, the heavens are asking. At any point in time, they're asking. When you encounter, when you are challenged by the enemy, when you are challenged in any particular position, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, when you're challenged, then you want to use the Word of God, you want to face the challenge with the Word of God. Your question comes, by what authority? And who gave you this authority? You may think that, well, Shebi, I'm a Christian now. I'm a Christian, so that one cancels out. That takes care of that. I'm a Christian, so that's my authority. Just wait a minute. Let's look at this thing more carefully. Praise the Lord. Even my standing here before you now, let me ask the question, by what authority do I stand here before you now? Am I here because maybe I'm the most exciting preacher? Am I here because, you know, I've had issues with this, you know, many times in the past. I said, God, why can't you want me to preach? Okay, why can't you make it so that at least I can shout a bit and jump up and down and be very bramboisous and you know, say, praise the Lord, you know, and somebody say amen, and you know, hallelujah, you know, why is it that I have to sound like a boring British BBC news summary? How can your anointing flow with such a thing? His anointing doesn't move with showmanship. It doesn't move with showmanship. All that jumping up and down. Oh, listen. Tomorrow maybe I can do some of it. Don't worry. I may grow into it. All right? But it doesn't move the anointing. What moves is authority. What authority do I have? What authority? There are some things that Aaron could not do for Moses. There are some things he could not do for Moses, even though he could speak better. Even though he had the gift of speaking better. Moses gave a lot of trouble to God. He said, I can't speak. Okay. God was angry. Yeah, to see, look, okay. I'll send your brother, send Aaron. He will speak for you. But there's some things that Aaron could not do, because he didn't have the authority that Moses had. And Moses had to do them. Was it Aaron that split the Red Sea? God said to Moses, what's that in your hand? Stretch it forth. It was Moses had to do that. Did Aaron speak to the rock? Moses had to do that. No matter how ugly his voice sounded, and the rock had whatever it was, he had to do it. Praise the Lord. It's not the outward show that makes the anointing flow. And you can be in the right place and lack authorization. I want to show you something. Very strange story. In 2 Kings chapter 4, start from verse 29. This is our man, Gehazi. Let me see. Yes. It says, okay. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up my loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. Next verse, please. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And okay, next verse, please. Next verse, please. And Gehazi passed on before them. And Gehazi passed on before them. And laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. Wait a minute. The man of God gave him his staff. Authority. He sent him, and Gehazi went to the, he didn't dilly dally, he went to the right place, and he did what he was supposed to do, supposedly. And it didn't work. Why didn't it work? I tell you why it didn't work. This Gehazi, all he had was a servile relationship with Elijah. Didn't have a relationship with God to speak of. And all he was doing was serving for his wages. That's all. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. The woman picked it. That's why she didn't even yeah. she didn't give him any face. She went straight to the man of God. He didn't have that relationship. He didn't have that relationship, therefore the authority did not flow. Very important to understand. He was in the right place. He was doing the right thing. But he was still out of order. He was serving, supposedly. You see the same thing with the seven sons of Siva. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? They probably said the right words. They danced around and said, come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. Contrast them with the man who those disciples went to see. They saw him casting out devils in his name. He wasn't with Jesus either. But his heart relationship to the word of God and towards the Lord was completely different from these seven sons here. Vagabonds, yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ruth got it right. She was in the right place at the right time. And you see, when she was in that right place in the field of Boaz, what happened? Grace and favor flowed her way. And it was not the grace of her own relationship with God. It was far above that. God had a purpose, a greater purpose that he was using her for. Her own little faith could not have done that. But what she had, because she was submitted to Naomi, because she was submitted to the God of Naomi, God did beyond what she could ever imagine that she could do. Praise the Lord. Very important. Now, I just want to tell us how indeed can we get into the right place at the right time. Number one, I'll give us three simple points. Number one, we need to get it right with authority. First, we need to be in a right, we need to have all authority, every authority figure in your life, be it spiritual or natural, all powers are ordained of God. Romans 13:1. All ordained of God. Praise the Lord. I want to read that, please. Yes. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Next verse, please. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This, as you can see, it didn't specify who, it didn't specify anything, it just gave a principle of Scripture. And whosoever applies to this, it's a principle of Scripture, praise the Lord. So there needs to be a turning of the hearts of the children back to the fathers and towards the wisdom of the just. There needs to be a turning back. It's not a physical thing. It's a heart thing, an attitude towards both the Word of God that you receive from, let's, for example, from this pulpit, the Word of God that you receive from Pastor and Mommy. Because you see, whether you like it or not, God has set them. And if you look through the Bible, at every point in time, there's someone that is set. Whoever is set, you, they had a problem when Moses was set. They said, why always you? Why only you? Why not us? Sons of Korah. Thank you, sir. But God has set him. Finish. There was no argument. God set him and that was it. Praise the Lord. I don't hear too much noise. God has set them. Thank you. So there's some claps to the Lord. God has set. And when you have someone that God has set, He sets them for a purpose. He sets them for a purpose. They are going to be a channel. The Bible speaks in... this Bible speaks about the two olive trees that stand before the God of the earth, pouring forth the golden oil. Pouring forth the golden oil. God has set them so that He can channel. He have them as channels of life, channels of mercy, channels of salvation, channels. So when God has set a channel, you just have to find your place as a part of that system. Praise the Lord. Have your heart attitude right. Have your heart attitude right. Maybe some people, because of rebuke and because of correction, they allow a rift between where the Word of God is coming from and themselves, because they don't want to hear a particular word, because they don't want to, they hide and dodge. And you have to get rid of these things. It creates a consciousness of sin. It creates God cannot move with such a thing, praise the Lord. So we need to remove that. Then secondly, We must hear the Word of God, hear the instructions and keep them. Many instructions have been coming forth. The instructions of the Bible says, my son, hear the instructions of the Father. Many instructions have been coming forth, especially recently now. I won't repeat them all. I will just tell us, encourage us, get the messages, listen to them, follow these instructions about prayer, about all the things we need to do to prepare ourselves for the coming of the glory of God. Let us follow these instructions, praise the Lord. In Luke 11, 27, 28, it gives us the key here. This is when they came to the Lord Jesus. Said, yes, that's it. Says, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sought. And you would think that she said a very righteous thing. Okay. Next verse. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Praise the Lord. give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. These are the things that are important. This is what made the difference between even Jacob and Esau. This is what made the difference. Believe me, if Jacob hadn't found a way of stealing that blessing, God would have given it to him anyway. Even if he had made Isaac cross his hands at one time, not knowing what he was doing, just cross his hands, like Ephraim and Manasseh, like Joseph. He would have done it. In fact, he would have preferred that, but because then all that Jacob suffered because of his deceit and everything, he wouldn't have suffered it. But nevertheless, he did it that way. But God gave it to Jacob. Why? Because Jacob loved the word of God. He loved to please God. He loved it. He loved God. Esau really couldn't care less. Although Esau loved his birthright, but he couldn't care less about the word of God. And so therefore, when it came to that little game they played around the pottage, that Esau cleverly thought in his head, he's going to have the best of both. This foolish boy who's always trying to get the better of me. Okay, you can take my birthright. When he was whacking the thing, he was enjoying himself. He said, "Don't, stupid boy, you think I'll give you, is that how they get birthrights? Foolish boy." But God saw it from heaven. And saw that he despised it. So it wasn't a one day thing. God doesn't do things just in one day, you know. He waits in the passage of time, process of time. In the process of time. In the process of time. Before God does things, he waits, he watches, he gives opportunity. He loves, he doesn't have any pleasure in the death of anybody, of a sinner. He has no pleasure in destroying. He has no pleasure. He would rather you repent. So that's why he gives time. So if you see in the Bible anywhere where somebody seems to be suddenly destroyed and the verses before, you don't see anything about him. Verses after, you don't see anything about him. Uzzah was suddenly destroyed because he touched him. Believe me, there's a process. Uzzah didn't start that day. He was doing things from a long time ago. It was his habit. Presumption. It was his habit. It was his habit. His habit. You know, until it got too much. So, and God knocked him. Suddenly be destroyed. Yes, thank you. The Bible says, he that is often reproved and hardens his neck. How graphic is that? Hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29:1. So, in the process of time. So, the third thing I want to mention, the final thing, is don't go to war at your own charges. I will explain. If you have a child and you give him some money and say, go down the road and buy so and so in the shop at the corner of the street, and bring it back for me. The child will go. Maybe he also has. Maybe he has his own money in his own pocket. In his pocket too. And he goes there. Well, just imagine him getting there. And now trying to pay for it with his own money. Forgetting that you've given him. You've given him the price. And then he doesn't have enough. That is what it's like when we are sent by God and we go, but we go not in the consciousness of the fact that we've been sent. We just go in our own strength. And when we get there, we try to figure out what to do. And we do it, or we use our own little faith and do it, and it's not enough. The Bible says, I being in the way, the Lord led. we have to be, all these things I've been saying up to now is to help us to be in the way. Location, to be in the way. What you're doing, to be in the way. Because it's only when you're in the way that the power of God will lead and the power will flow. Praise the Lord. So, we don't go at our own charges. We know that we go in the consciousness of the fact that we've been sent. Something happened to me not too long ago. There was a child that fell ill in school. And mommy said, Wiley, go to stay by his side. Go and stay by his side. And to cut a long story short, we were there in OT2. That is the children's emergency ward. I was there, you know, I sat there for hours, you know. And the child miraculously was getting better. You know, he was getting better and was healed. So there was no problem. We were just sitting there, and I knew that the reason why the child got healed is because he was under covering of this house. He was under covering of Pastor Amobi. The parents had handed them over and given authority of the child over to somebody, and they were watching over that child. Even though they were not there, they were watching over that child. And I was just sitting there as an agent with eyes that could help them watch. Now, while I was there, something funny happened. I was sitting there, and there was just a few meters away, there was another child. Now, this other child had started hyperventilating. I think that's the word. He was just stiff. I was doing... And the doctors were beginning to rush around him. They were brought oxygen. They brought this. They brought so many. Everybody was there. And I was saying to God, God, why did you bring me here? I can talk to God sometime. Why did you bring me here to see this child die? Why now? Why must I be sitting here to watch this thing happen? Why? The child that I was with was under covering. You know, I have said that. And I have detailed to you how the covering covered the child that I was with. This other child, I don't know his parents. I don't know whose child it is and so on. And something inside me said, okay, why don't you stand up and begin to tell the nurses and doctors to stand aside. I said, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Sing. Yeah. I said, look, is that what you want me to do, Lord? Is that really what you want to do? I believe the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I'm not asking you to do that. Find me a basis to take the authority that is over this child here to stretch towards this one that is just a few meters away. Find me a basis. It's not a matter of your shouting. It's not a matter of anybody even seeing you. Find me a basis. So I sat and I thought, God. And you know, the Holy Spirit is a friend, you know. He just floated the scripture in my head. He said, even the dogs have the crumbs that fall from the table. And within me, I knew that that was the answer. And so I prayed under my breath. I said, Lord, have mercy. God of my fathers, who have covered this child that I'm sitting with, that is on the table. Let's just have a few crumbs to heal this one that is here. I prayed under my breath as I was praying. Under my breath, one by one, the doctors began to relax and move away. And the child was fine. This connection you all have. That is what I said at the beginning, remember? This honor have all his saints. Thank you, Brother Cardi. This connection all of us have. And we probably stumble across it accidentally sometimes when things work. And you've not really known exactly why or how. Abby? I can see some people nodding their head. Sometimes it just works like that. And you wonder, what did I do? You know? I did not go toward my own charges. There was a covering. And there was something greater than my faith. Do you know my faith could, may, if I had prayed on my own, maybe I know life would have flown, but maybe it would not be enough. And I wasn't sitting there because I chose to sit there. I sat there. I was sent. I knew that. This was one time I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. Everything was in place. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. And it worked. But then God was telling me that, why can't that happen all the time? And he's saying that it can. And by the grace of God, as I'm not there, but I have seen it. And I'm working on it. And that's why I came to share it with you. Extremely important for the days that are coming, because these are the days of his power. The anointing without measure, the spirit without measure is about to be released. He needs people in place. He needs people connected, positioned, whether they be old men or young men or maidens or children. They all have to share one thing. They have to be connected, correctly related, and rightly related, and in unity. Praise the Lord.
Give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. That is a very deep message. And I want to thank God for Pastor Wally. God spoke to him, and immediately I saw it. I said, you have to share this tonight with the house. And if I'm going to add anything, or rather, I really won't add anything, I'll just amplify, and then we'll pray. Everybody say location.
Location.
I didn't hear you.
Location.
Then say function.
Function.
Then say authorization.
Authorization.
These are the three things that have to be in place. It's like a three combination lock. If one of them is out of place, you know, if you have these padlocks, you know, you have a three combination lock. If one number isn't there, the padlock will not open. So it is in the realm of the spirit. Location, you have to be in the right place at the right time. And that's where, and it's not difficult to be in the right place at the right time if you follow the right principles. If you obey the principles of the Word of God and you follow righteousness and integrity, you will always be at the right place at the right time. What takes us out of the correct location is when we follow our tummy, stomach infrastructure, to borrow an expression from some of our politicians, you know. And that's what happened in the case of Naomi and her husband and the two boys. They left Bethlehem, Judah, because there was no food. But they were not the only ones who were in Bethlehem, Judah. And interestingly, the people they left, well, by the time she came back, those people did not die. Somehow, in the famine, God preserved the people. So leaving for Moab was not going to solve the famine problem. Checking out, so to speak, was not the answer. And so it's important for us to be where God wants us to be, you know, based on the Word of God. If you're going to move location, you know, make sure it is God who is leading you. The other day I was sharing here about Jesus and Bethlehem and Nazareth and Capernaum. Each of those places had they were in Scripture, and there were certain destinies that was being fulfilled. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. Then he had to grow up in Nazareth, according to the Scripture. And then he had to operate out of Capernaum, the land, you know, where the Bible says, you know, beyond the sea, Galilee of the Gentiles. Each of those places were mentioned in Scripture. And at each particular point in time, the Lord Jesus was the Holy Spirit. First, when he was a baby, he couldn't have done it himself then. God moved a whole empire to see to it that Mary and Joseph were at the right location. And then they moved back to Nazareth, you know, where he grew up. And then when he grew up, it's very interesting, he didn't stay in Nazareth. You know, obviously he prayed and God led him and said, look, this is where I want you to be. Because in Nazareth, of course, they did not accept his ministry. So location is very important. Make sure you move to the right place based on integrity. Let me give a personal example of this, you know, using my own personal life and personal example. When I was abroad, I could have stayed in England. And I remember there were certain many, back in those days, you didn't even have to have a visa. You know, in those days, we didn't used to get visa, just go. You know, they would stamp it at the airport. You know, all just shows your letter, admission letter, just stamp it. So I had the thing stamped. Now, for me to have stayed back, I would have had to get into some illegality. I could still have corrected it later on, you know, but I didn't want to do that. I had become a Christian by that time. I had been walking with God, and I just wanted to do everything correctly and rightly, you know. And that thing helped me. My wife and I, when we were lecturers in University of Ibadan, you know, and that was the time of this Andrew thing, and everybody was checking out and going to England, going to America, and we could do the same thing. In fact, people had even brought things to me and made all kinds of suggestions and everything. But I had to go back. We had to go back to God and find out, where does God want us to be? And I remember my wife telling some of our friends back then, saying to them that unless God is a partial God, unless it is not the same God, what you are going to England and America to look for, we will stay here in Nigeria. And God will give us everything. And we look back now over these last 20, 30 years, and it has happened exactly like that. In fact, it's even better. Amen? You know, so many of our friends, you know, and colleagues, you know, that we haven't seen in 20 years, 30 years. Some of them, you know, in recent times when I've traveled, my wife and I, you know, we meet them and everything. And everything that, you know, they went abroad to go and look for, God's given it to us. And we stayed here. Hallelujah. Location is very important. And you know, if we had been in the wrong place, it would have been a completely different story. Completely different story. Completely different story. You know, and I don't want to go into all kinds of speculations, but I know, I may not know for any other person, but I know for Olubi Johnson, I don't think I would have been alive if I stayed in the wrong place. I think I would have been okay for some years, and then something would have happened. I kind of just knew that inside my own Noah. You know, and that's why location is so important. You know, and follow righteousness and integrity. The second thing is function. Function has to do with your heart, you know, and doing what God told you to do at each point in time, making sure you're doing the right thing the Lord wants you to do. And Pastor Wale, in sharing this, he brought two very glaring examples that I would like to repeat and help us to learn from. The first one, both of them are negative, but one is better than the other. The first one are the disciples, Peter, James, and John. They were in the right place, right location. They were with Jesus in Gethsemane, you know, and Jesus told them what to do. He said, tarry here and watch with me. He didn't say sleep. The function then was to watch. He said, tarry here and watch with me, and I will go yonder to pray. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. He told them, they had an idea of what he was going through emotionally and what he was facing. He had been telling them for the last 1.5 years that he's going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to be killed, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he told them. So he said, tonight, look, he said, you guys, stay here, and watch with me. Let me paraphrase that. Support me in prayer. Back me up. Okay? I need support. And I would just go yonder, He was close enough to them, they could hear what he was saying. That's why they could write it down. So it wasn't as if he was 1 million miles away, But they failed in that function. Instead of praying, they slept. They had the correct location. They had the authorization. It was Jesus who told them. But they failed in the function. And we know what happened, especially with the case of Peter. He wound up, denying Christ 3 times. What ordinarily would not have happened had he prayed. The second example, of course, is Gehazi. Gehazi, again, was in the right location. He had the authorization. Elijah gave him his staff. Elisha, he had the authorization. But he failed at function level because his heart was not connected. Now, if you read the story of Gehazi very, very carefully, by the time you get to the place where Naaman comes, you begin to understand why that thing didn't work. Gehazi was thinking of money and houses and vineyards. His heart was choked with covetousness. Even though he was with the man of God, he was not with the man of God. He was there physically, but his heart was far from him. Elisha was a man who wanted to honor and glorify God. Gehazi was there for the ride to see what he could get materially and physically. He showed up, when Naaman brought the money and all the clothes and everything, and Elisha refused to take it, what was in his heart came out. He didn't know that God will reveal it. That's another problem here, because Elisha, he knew Elisha was an ordinary man. Do you understand? And although he knew he had supernatural power, he knew he didn't know everything. But he did not know that on that day, the Holy Ghost will reveal it. And that also tells us something else, honey. Can you imagine? It means he's done some things like that in the past, and Elijah didn't know. And God did not expose him. And Elisha didn't know. So he thought this time too, he would do it, and Elisha won't know. The Yoruba say, Ojo gbogbo lojo ole. In our language, that means every day is the day of the thief. But one day is the day of the householder. But God, that day, God revealed it to Elisha. He said, Gehazi. He said, thy servant went no thither. And he said, went not my heart with thee. When the man turned, he had a vision. It was word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It was a supernatural. He said, went not my heart with thee when the man turned in the chariot. So God actually gave Elisha a peep into what happened. And he said, is it the time? Then he began to reveal his heart. Is this the time for us to have clothes and vineyards and everything? Now let me use this opportunity to say this. You know, I mentioned this tangentially on Sunday when I was preaching about confession of sin. And you've noticed the sins I mentioned, prayerlessness, sexual immorality. And then I got down to covetousness, idolatry, rebellion. Those sins are very common in the church. A great number of Christians, let me use this word, I'm very careful what I say, a significant number, let me put it that way, of Christians are like Gehazi. They are here for the ride. Most people really don't care. They don't give two hoots about the glory of God. All they are in church for is what God can give them. The bread and fish syndrome. Not really. I'm telling you. Most people, they don't really. The great majority, the great mass. And that's why God is going to do a great purging. And 2/3 will be cut off. And then he'll now bring the 1/3 through the fire. And then that 1/3 will now reproduce after its kind. Because a great number, a significant number, could care less. All they want is what God can give them. Just like Gehazi. Gehazi could have left Elijah, could have gone to be a farmer. He could have gone to do any secular work. Do you understand? But he knew Elisha had the anointing. And that with the anointing, money will come. So he was going to stay and wait for his opportunity. And he saw it when the Nehemiah came. He said, this is what I've been waiting for. When the glory comes, offering my wallet. there will be money and they will be able to do, And it's sad, but it's regrettable, But and it's something we need to all watch out for. It's something to really watch out for. And make sure, unlike Gehazi, we don't do that. And can you see, Gehazi could not tap into the borrowed anointing. It was there. Elisha gave it to him. He gave him, yet there was no power. Because there was a disconnect at the heart level. There's a disconnection. So the power that was flowing from Elisha when he got through, it's just like in electricity. If you have a faulty switch connection, then the current will not flow through. That's what happened, and he couldn't raise the child. Now I know enough about Elisha, to know that if he felt Gehazi couldn't, he would have just told him not to bother. Pastor Wale also said something that's very, very important, and I think I'll close with this. God loves us, and he's not interested in the failure of anybody. God wants the best for all of us, and that's why he gives us a long rope. That's why he gives us time. That's why he gives us time. He gives us time to change. It's the many times we think God is foolish. Or we think God is, or people who are like God, we think that they are weak. Oh, why hasn't he done something? God, It's not God's style. God is the kind of person who says he endures long. He gives a long. He says, I gave them space to repent. Look at this Eli. Look at this Gehazi. Fellow. Obviously, Elisha, did not know, although God knew, but God did not reveal it to Elisha, and he did not allow Elisha to put him aside, put him away, at the early stages, because he was giving him a chance to change. That's why Elijah entrusted the staff to him. Even though there was a disconnect, but God did not reveal it to Elisha. To give Gehazi time to change. Same thing with Judas. Jesus knew he'd been stealing from the bag. But Jesus didn't condemn him. He didn't. I can imagine what would have happened if he had told the sons of thunder. they would have taken Judas to pieces. Those boys were quite a bunch of tough guys, you know. He didn't tell them. He didn't tell anybody. It was later, after Jesus had died, that Jesus must have revealed it to John. You know, even till that very night, nobody knew who it was. And then, you know, Peter said, "Ask Jesus." Jesus said, "The person, you know, they thought he was asking him to go and give money to the poor." That's how Jesus didn't reveal Judas's weakness and his infirmities to the others, in the hope that with time Judas would change. Regrettably and sadly, he did not. So the good news is this, and we close on this. You know, for us to enjoy, to be able to enjoy this borrowed anointing, if we can use that expression, you know, our location is critical, and that will be brought about by righteousness and integrity. Our function is critical, that will be brought about by honesty of heart. A heart, you know, I like the way Pastor Wiley brought it out through Paul and Timothy. He says, "I have no man like-minded." Timothy and Paul were not the same people. And we know Timothy had his weaknesses, you know, as a person, as a human being. But he had the right heart. He said, "Who will naturally care for your state? For all men seek theirs." But Timothy was different. That heart, you know, function, you know. And then, of course, we have the authorization. That authority is the authority that is given from heaven. And we see that in that man, the nameless. We'll see that guy when we get to heaven. Probably just come and shake you and say, "I'm the guy who cast out the devils. But I was not among the 12. And it's very interesting. You know, Pastor Wale mentioned this tangentially. You know, do you know? You know, and I was telling him when he was preaching. The 12 had just been commissioned. Jesus had, you know, he did it twice. He did the 12, then he did the 70. This guy was in between. When after God had commissioned the 12, it was after the 12 had been healing and all of that, that they now saw this guy that James and John wanted to, you know, and said, "This guy is not with us." So the guy preceded the 70. Amazing. He preceded the 70. And watch this. And this is what I'm about to say is so important for here and the entire body of Christ. This move that is coming, man will not control it. That's why he's making us teach and preach all things we're teaching now. You know, he's going to go out. He's not in the hands of Olubi Johnson. He's not in the hands of Scripture Pastor. He's not going to be in the hands of any. It's going to be God. Wall to wall God. Are you listening to me? Yeah, like this guy, this person, Jesus didn't even know him. I got news for you. The guy was not ordained. The 12 were ordained. The 12, they had ceremony. They did special prayer for them in the church. In those days, they didn't have church like we have today. You know, the Bible says Jesus called 12, you know, and he laid hands and he gave them authority. You know, there was a ceremony. This man was not in the ceremony. He was not in their church. He was not in their denomination. He was a nameless, faceless messenger of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. All he did was obey the same principles that the 12 did. And he got the same anointing that the 12 had, without all the ceremony. And so shall it be in this move. There are going to be people we don't know. And you know why God has to do it like that? So that no man can boast. And no man can use his own human personality to control anything. If you start, God will just step out of your box.
He will step is it not God? He will step out of your box. This thing will not be cornered by any one man or any one denomination. If you are faithful, God will bless you. He will be faithful to you, you know. And then he'll be doing things that are way beyond you. You know, that will keep everybody humble. And it will make sure that no man can boast and say, oh, it is me who did this, or it is man. There will be people, there are people we will not even have heard of, who will just take these same principles. I've used my own self as an example over the years. Ken Hager doesn't know I exist. Ken Copeland doesn't know I exist. He may have heard of me through one or two people, one of my friends, you know. But as far as I know, he doesn't even know I exist. And some of these guys, they don't even know me. You know? They don't even know. They don't even. And just like that, there are people I don't know who maybe have been following the things I've been preaching for 20 years. I don't even know them. And they are in one place somewhere. And when the glory comes, they will manifest the glory. Because it's going to be God, not man. Let us pray. They that know their God, they that know the God of their oversight, they that know the God of their oversight will be strong and they will do exploits. Timothy knew the God of Paul. Ruth knew the God of Naomi. Elijah knew the God of Elisha. Elisha knew the God of Elijah. Joshua knew the God of Moses. All the great men in the Bible, they had mentors, they had oversight, but they knew God, and then they also knew the God of their oversight, and they maintained this connection. The location, the function, and they had the authorization. All these things, they flow from the heart. It's a heart thing. I've said it over and over and over again in the last few weeks and months, and I'm going to keep saying it. At the bottom level, Christianity, it has to do with the heart. Honesty, humility, loyalty. Those are the things, those are the real issues. And that is what makes the connection from God through oversight to you. If God is going to wait for all of us to grow for 30 years like Jesus, 18 years, you know, from when he was a baby to 30 years, not work will be done. That's why he has to use borrowed anointing. So that he can multiply the effect. And many more people can participate. These guys were only under Jesus' ministry for about 1 year, and they started manifesting the glory. So shall it be in this time. It's not God, if God has to wait for them to grow for 20 years, then only 2-3 people will be doing everything. He can't do it. Even their physical body cannot contain it. And that's why this message is important. God needs as many of us as possible. As many of us as are willing. He needs us to be faithful. He needs us to be in the right place. He needs us to be operating the right function. All things we've been learning, watching and praying always, praying for the Spirit without measure, having the right attitude. You know, he needs to all for us to have the authorization. And authorization comes from, he comes from the attitude. You know what Jesus said? Jesus, John said, forbid him. He followeth not with us. Jesus said, don't forbid him. He said, for no man who can do a miracle in my name can shortly afterwards speak evil of me. It means the man's attitude was right. He wasn't in their group, but his heart was right. And that was all God needed for the power to flow. Talk to God tonight. And let him know that, Lord, have mercy, help me. Help me to be faithful, to be in location, to be faithful in my function, to be faithful in my authorization. And it's all, really one thing is the heart.
The heart is right. Integrity, righteousness, you'll be in the right location. If your heart is right, you'll be practicing what the Father tells you to do. You know, instruction. The heart is right, there'll be authorization. These are the days of Elijah,
declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses,
righteousness
being restored. And these are the days of great trial.
But he's coming into a structure, like Pastor Wiley says. He's not going to just come. He's not going to fall down from heaven. He's coming through a people. He's coming through an army. He says the Lord will speak forth his word before his army, and he will bring them forth. Say, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He says, who shall stand when he appears? Who shall endure it? The same thing in Joel. It's an army. He's not coming in one person. He's coming in an army. Now when you say, God, we're going to pray now. But say, God, I will keep rank. I'm going to be a part of that army. And we've seen from what we've heard tonight, you don't need any special qualification. This man in Luke chapter 9 and Matthew, faceless, nameless, faceless. It tells us that you don't have to have any special qualification. You don't have to be hyper spiritual either. All God is looking for is an honest heart. All God is looking for, an honest, sincere, humble heart who will practice what he's told. Finish. All even this Peter, James, and John, all these guys we're talking about, is it not the same Peter? He carried broad anointing. It's not the same Peter, even after the broad anointing and everything that denied God. You know, so the fact that they had weaknesses did not disqualify them, because their heart was right. Your weaknesses will not disqualify you. Keep an honest heart. Talk to God. Raise that hand. If James, Peter, and John could get it, oh God, my have mercy. If Thomas could have it, if Judas could have it. Judas operated the borrowed anointing. He lost it later, sadly, but he did operate it anyway. Bible says the 12, then the 70. Certainly you can. But we've been told tonight the three things. Keep that three combination lock. Location, function, authorization. Say, Heavenly Father. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, reminding me of my preparation for the borrowed anointing of your glory that is coming to your church. By being in the right location, operating in the right function, and with the right authorization, I understand that all these things flow through a right heart attitude. Father, I continue to ask for fresh mercy and grace to keep my heart with all diligence. A heart of integrity, a heart of righteousness, a heart of honesty, a heart of humility, that will position me in the right location, operating in the right function, and having the right authorization through which this borrowed anointing, this spirit without measure, will flow in this day and hour to show forth your glory. Lord God, disciple the nations and close this age in Jesus' name. Nikato fredenga, lipiketoski fridili mangarst. Jekito fredingi tolomangar tofres. Lubrikitu fredengitos. Nera! Shakito fredengito katungu shaya. Nokodolomo tolomo shengi. Lubrito frishi. Sofrigatlomatulomostufres. Lombrikamatulomatufres. Lombrikamatufrishingar. Tolomatulo. Zefrigatlomatulo. Lambrikatushkefre. Lambrikamatulomangaya. Nikatungi tushkefrenes. Nikatulo maradala maturnengar. Je la bridis. Zofridilis. Nikororos. Zefridis. Zefridilomas. Jiketufris. Nofridingaras. Sofridilis. Nofridis. Jelebrudolo mangaras. Zofridis. Nikatuhre dengaras. Nera matuske fridis. Nofridis. Neras. Tolomangaras. Zofridis. Nifridelas. Nofridela matufres. Zofrinesk. In Jesus' name.